In my previous lesson, I used the Sermon on the Mountain, as recorded in Matthew chapter 5 through 7, as my subject. Today I'm going to do the same thing. I know that there are those who would say that this Sermon on the Mountain, these words spoken by Jesus, is not for us today. They would say that Jesus was a creature of his own time and not of ours. They would remind us that times have changed. And it is true, time has changed. But Jesus taught a doctrine that is unchangeable, unshakable. Jesus' words were no easier then than they are today. There are many changes taking place in our governments, even in our churches. There are some churches that are putting reprobates in the pulpit to preach, putting them on the church board, putting them on the deacon board. If Jesus was here in the flesh, would he not cleanse the temple today as he did when he was here 2,000 years ago? Today we're allowing the minorities to change our culture. The minorities are changing our grammar, our speech, our pronouns. The minorities are causing us to censor our own speech in fear of offending someone. Well, friend, if you're not offending someone, you're not preaching what Jesus preached. If you're not offending someone, you are compromising his truth. So today, I'm going to be speaking again from the Sermon on the Mountain. Jesus said, "Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which was before you. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt's lost its savor, it's good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. You are the light of the world," Jesus tells us. "A city set on a hill can't be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it gives light to all that are in the house." The words that Christ spoke in his day are still in vogue today. The key to the Sermon on the Mountain is the way he used two expressions. One was, "You have heard." The other was that short, emphatic word, "but." When he said, "You have heard," he reached back to what human ears have heard for centuries and still hear from ethical reformers today. All these rules and codes and precepts, which are between instinct and reason, between local customs and in the highest ideas. When he said, "You have heard," he included the Mosaic Law, Buddha with his Eightfold Way, Confucius with his rules for being a kind gentleman, and Aristotle with his natural happiness. He included the broadness of the Hindus and all the humanitarian groups of our day who would translate some of the old codes into their own language and call them a new way of life. Of all of these compromises, Jesus said, "You have heard." You have heard that it was said, "Thou shalt not commit adultery." Moses had said it. The pagan tribes suggested it. The primitive people respected it. Then came that terrible and awful "but." "But I tell you, he that looks upon a woman and lusts for her has committed adultery already in his heart." With Jesus, the heart of the matter was always the matter of the heart. I hope this 5 minutes has been an encouragement to you. You can get in touch with me at BibleStrong316@gmail.com or log on to our website at BibleStrong316.org.